another edition of Flea Market Fantasy, the world's second greatest Bronze Age era comic book podcast. Joining me as always is new Mike Kevin Jack.
Hey, it's me. I'm here to talk about Daredevil at his finest. Or maybe not.
Yeah, this isn't Daredevil's finest. But it is Daredevil, so that's pretty good. We will be reading Daredevil issue 123 from 1975.
Swinging 70s.
Sure, it's one way of looking at it. And this has Black Widow in it and a whole bunch of terrible villains. But we'll get to that in a moment. But before we start, let's remind everybody, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We're up to 155 subscribers, Jack.
We keep climbing. Look at that.
Yeah, we keep climbing. Like that. Again, the goal is 500. So don't know if we'll ever get there.
Very modest goal, but yeah, we still might.
We're going to get there. But other big news, Jack. The Flea Market Fantasy t-shirts are now available.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah.
So you got to send me a link to these.
Well, the links will be in the YouTube video. And it's also merch.19books.com.
I'm looking at them now. One of them's got the that guy from the Black Panther issue.
Yeah, King Cadaver. I'm like, well, there's no way Marvel would sue us for that, right? I mean, come on. We're going to sell t-shirts. And that's a character that no one even remembers. From the 1970s.
Marvel probably doesn't even remember they put that out.
So slap him on there for the Flea Army. All right, that's that. Let's get to Daredevil issue 123. You mentioned, like, Prime Daredevil's Frank Miller. And that happens in issue 168. So
we're still a ways away from that. And they're still floundering to figure out what the hell to do with Daredevil at this point. They just had no idea. Like, they're just like, I don't know, he's blind and a lawyer. Beyond that, we got nothing. I guess they can fight Stiltman every six issues.
Yeah, Stiltman, the Owl, Leapfrog. Was he back in that day? I think so. I don't know.
Jester.
Just to remind everybody, Daredevil, issue one, April 1964, created by Stan Lee and Bill Everett. Not Jack Kirby. But Jack Kirby apparently did have some input into the character design. Specifically, the Billy Club. He came up with the Billy Club.
Okay. At least he came up with something that stuck, unlike the yellow costume. It's like, if he was the one who came up putting yellow on it, then well, your legacy.
Yeah, that seems so much like a Jack Kirby design of a costume, that yellow design. So he had had some say in that. But that only lasted seven issues, I believe. Then the red one came in issue seven. I read all those early Daredevil. They're not very good.
I remember you coming on every week and telling us about it on the LCS show, and it's like, this sounds terrible.
Yeah, he's fighting the Animal Fire Men or Animan. What were those guys? They look like there's like a chicken and a. Remember those guys?
Yeah.
They weren't good.
He just had no idea what to do with them. Like, I don't know. It seems so obvious. Like, he just protects, like, what, three blocks worth of New York City? Like, just worry about street level stuff. Yeah. We can fight organized crime. It seems pretty obvious.
So Jerry Conway came in to write the book with issue 81, I believe, and he brought in the Black Widow to be Daredevil's love interest and crime-fighting ally. Seems like an odd pair. You know, like you said, this blind lawyer in a three-block radius in New York City and this international spy. But seems odd.
Hey, I mean, it works. That Matt Murdock, he's a ladies' man, so you put him next to any lady, he's going to, you know, make time with her.
She stayed as a regular on the book, basically from she got there till issue 124. Just one more issue after this, what we're reading here today, Black Widow.
You leaving with that Ivan fella?
Well, Ivan Petrovich, isn't he the kind of the guy who, I meant to look him up, isn't he the kind of the guy who just, like, oversees her with the KGB, but he...
Her handler, yeah.
Yeah, but he, you know, who wouldn't love Natasha, you know, so I'm sure he's sweet on her, too. But from issues 92 to 107 of Daredevil, the series was known as Daredevil and the Black Widow. Like, that was on the title there. So, that's interesting.
Struggling for sales, so they're like, hey, we'll put someone else in the title. Maybe that'll help.
Conway also moved Daredevil from Hell's Kitchen to San Francisco.
Yes, that's true.
So, maybe he wanted to get him into the, you know, bigger adventures. I think he also put, like, a sci-fi twist on things, too, a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely remember him fighting Thanos at one point.
Yeah, that's...
Moon Dragon and stuff, and it's like, oh, man.
Seems like a good matchup. Thanos versus Daredevil.
Yeah. Like, this ain't good. But yeah, so, I mean, it's an interesting move to put him to San Francisco, which he would go back to later on in like the Mark Wade days. But yeah, it's cool to have somebody who's not, you know, in New York City when like 90% of the superheroes were concentrated there.
Yeah, Marv Wolfman took over writing the book at issue 124, and he got rid of Black Widow, and he also moved Daredevil back to Hell's Kitchen.
Okay, well, that part, I mean, I can't be mad about that, but yeah. You can keep Black Widow, at least until Elektra shows up.
So then Marv Wolfman had a run there, but then Frank Miller, well, Roger Stern came in then, and then Frank Miller came in as artist with Stern, but he didn't like what Stern was doing with the book. So I think Jim Shooter said, all right, you just take over. And he took over as writer and artist with issue 168. That was the first appearance of Elektra. And then we're off and running.
Holy hell. Talk about like making a big splash with just your first issue.
And for a while there, Daredevil was being published bi-monthly because, you know, it wasn't popular.
Good.
So
yeah.
Frank Miller took over within three issues. He made it so popular that they went back to monthly. And it became Marvel's top-selling book. Like, it was Daredevil and then X-Men. And so it's pretty crazy.
That's incredible. Yeah. What an impact.
So what else? The creators here for the book we're reading today, the writer is Tony Isabella, and we know him from he created Black Lightning. If you go back and listen to the Flea Market Fantasy issue we did of Black Lightning, you can hear all about Tony Isabella. But he only handled issues 119 to 123. He bridged the gap between, Steve Gerber was there for a little bit. From between Steve Gerber and Marv Wolfman was so Tony Isabella had four issues. And the artist here is a fellow named, he's credited in this book as Bob Brown. Sometimes you hear his name is William Robert Brown. And
I really heard of either of them.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever talked about William Robert Brown on the show. So maybe we'll do that when we're done with the book. We'll come back to him.
Just hope a salad bar is not involved.
I don't know what that means.
You remember Dino Riders?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it wasn't necessarily a salad bar, but yeah, he jumped off to a, people were eating lunch and they, that was rough. Go back to that episode. You'll learn all about the writer of that issue, but, this issue, features Daredevil and Hydra. He's fighting Hydra, which isn't a normal Daredevil villain, necessarily.
Yeah, it's more of a Black Widow type thing, the whole espionage thing.
And Foggy Nelson is here. Now, the premise of this issue is that this is like a four-issue arc. Like,
must be the whole Tony Isabella run.
Yes. So I think the premise here is that S.H.I.E.L.D. tried to recruit Foggy Nelson, because I believe Foggy Nelson is a district attorney at the moment.
Okay. Is that true? I guess that would make sense. Like, that's why, you know, Matt went to San Francisco is because
Foggy. Oh, yeah, but there you go. Hey, it's all coming together. It's all coming together. So S.H.I.E.L.D. wants to, I guess there's some government regulation or something that some independent body has to now govern S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's going to be a five-person committee. And Nick Fury is recruiting Foggy Nelson. He wants him to be on the committee. Seems odd. But so while that's going on, Hydra attacks the New Yorkers, and they kidnap Foggy Nelson. Now, I'm not sure why they want to get Foggy. I guess because he's the district attorney. They're just trying to make a splash. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you go aim your sights a little higher.
So when this issue begins, Foggy Nelson has been kidnapped by Hydra. Daredevil has just gotten a nonsense beaten out of him by Blackwing. Just trying to keep it a family show. And and Black Widow is then trying to rescue Daredevil. But the villains in this book, Silvermane.
Yeah.
Which,
not the version of Silvermane I'm used to seeing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Ever involved with Hydra.
Yeah, he's like the Supreme Hydra here. It's a big reveal that it's Silvermane.
Yeah.
His real name is Salvio Manfredi. And his first appearance was Amazing Spider-Man 73, 1969, created by Stan Lee and John Buscema. And he was a notorious Magia crime boss, obsessed with trying to make himself younger. And
yeah, he was an old man.
Yeah, and he drank an elixir that started de-aging him. He's like, yeah, what a success. But it just kept de-aging him. And he became an itty-bitty baby. And then he just disappeared. He just vanished.
So, just turned back into, you know, what we all came from, I guess. Or so it seemed.
Yeah, because then he just pops up again as an old man.
Yeah.
He's in his 40s in this issue, right? They say he's in his 40s.
Yeah. But there's not really a good explanation for that, at least here anyway. They explain like, oh, it was a rubber band. Like he pushed it as far as it could go and then it snapped back. But why did it snap back to 40 instead of like 75 you were before or whatever it was?
And yeah, there's also a big reveal in this issue where he's wearing like a mask of an old guy. But then he like rips it off and he still has the white hair and everything. So it just looks like a slightly less old guy.
It's like Doc Brown in like Back to the Future. Like when Marty goes back to the 50s and like Doc Brown pretty much looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Still got the long white hair.
But Jack, the version of Silverman you're probably familiar with, doesn't he make himself into a cyborg, a half robot later on?
Yeah. Yep. That's for sure. That was his next plan for immortality, I guess, was just, make myself into a robot.
And he's normally like a Spider-Man villain, right?
Yep. Yeah. Always getting in the Kingpin's craw. They're always fighting over territory.
There you go. And his son is Joseph Manfredi, and his alias is Blackwing. And he's the guy who beat up Daredevil at the end of last issue. And have you ever, like, I knew his first appearance was Daredevil 118, 1975, created by Jerry Conway and Don Heck. And he was a costumed animal trainer for Ringmaster Circus of Crime.
Oh, man, we should have done that issue.
I know. I didn't know that. I'd known that beforehand. I would have. He's an expert bat trainer. He can train bats. That's his power.
Wow, that's it? That's all he's got. He just beat up Daredevil.
Yeah, this is not the best version of Daredevil, I'm just going to say. But yeah, I guess he also breeds these bats to make, he fills them with steroids or something. They're real angry bats.
They just have rabies. They just bite you and give you rabies. It's very annoying.
And he also has a little costume that lets him fly and stuff. Like a jetpack or something, I don't know. But have you ever encountered this Blackwing fella at any point in your comic reading?
Nope.
Yeah.
He's been lost to history.
I've heard of him. Hey, speaking of people who've been lost to history, El Jaguar. His name is Ramon DiRico. First appearance of Daredevil 120 in 1975, created by Tony Isbell and Bob Brown. So he apparently was just created for this story. And he led Hydra's commando division. So that's pretty good. And what you want when you have a guy leading the commando division is he should wear leopard print pants, no shirt, and some crazy clawed gloves to make him look like a jaguar.
That's what I wear to work.
He's kind of like Kraven the Hunter without a shirt and
and cat claws. Yeah.
Spell jaguar. And I tried to read up more on him. I don't know if he ever shows up again anywhere. maybe Scourge from the Mouse, you know?
Yeah,
maybe.
Let's hope. But I would gladly trade El Jaguar and Black Star and all these people for Turner D. Century to come back.
Also, we have Jackhammer. And his real name
is a surprise villain in this, apparently.
Yeah, his name is Matthew Banham. First appearance.
His name should have been Jack Hammer. What were they thinking?
But his first appearance is this very issue, Daredevil 123, created by Tony Isabel and Bob Brown. So when he shows up in this issue, that's his first appearance ever in comic books.
Huh.
It makes no sense, such, right?
Yeah, I know.
Like, he just shows up in the middle of the book, comes walking out of some smoke, and he wants to fight Daredevil.
Yeah, he's like, Daredevil, it's me, Jack Hammer.
Where the hell are we supposed
to know you?
Yeah. I assumed he was in previous issues.
Yeah, and me too.
This is going to be the big fight now. but nope.
Oh boy. Yeah, this was poorly set up, if that's the case.
So after this story, he was a Hydra division leader, apparently. And after this story, he next showed up in Captain America 371 in 1990. And at this point, he gets super strength from the Power Broker. And this is my favorite detail. He started dating a female wrestler named Pound Cakes. That's the best. I wish I could date a female wrestler named Pound Cakes.
He took Pound Cakes to Pound Town with his jackhammer.
I guess Captain America was out on a date with what was that girl? He was Diamondback, right?
Diamondback. Yeah.
And I guess Jackhammer and Pound Cakes caused trouble for him.
So. Uh-oh. Yeah. They cut in front of him in line at the movies?
I don't know, something. So that was Jackhammer. And now Dreadnought, he is just a robot. He's a filthy robot.
Yeah. And he's a lot like the Destroyer, it seems like. The Thor villain.
Yeah, he's like, basically there's more than one Dreadnought. It's like their generic term for their Hydra combat robots. I guess this is just one version of them. And the Dreadnought's first appearance, Stranger Tales, 154, 1967, created by Roy Thomas and Jim Steranko. How about that?
Okay.
Got a couple more. This guy I forgot about until right before the episode. I had to hurry up and research him. Mentolo. He's in this book briefly.
Yeah. Mentolo. He doesn't do a whole lot, but he's there.
He has a great real name, Marvin Flum, with two M's.
Actually, I think I knew that somewhere in my brain.
Wow. How could you possibly know that? His first appearance, Strange Tales 141, 1965, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. And he is a low-level telepath. He was born a mutant, I guess. And he was recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D. as part of their Psi division. And that's PSI, not SAI like Elektra. Side of it. And, yeah. But he, I guess he was a double agent and he tried to take over the organization with Hydra and he got caught and arrested, thrown in jail. And then he got out of jail and he teamed up with a fellow named Fixer. Everyone knows Fixer.
Hey, we talked about him with the Baron Zemo thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Fixer made that little head thing for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. But you seem to know Mentolo. Where did you?
I don't know where I've encountered him. I've definitely encountered him before. I couldn't tell you where. He, again, didn't leave that much of a mental impression, but Flum sticks in my brain.
Marvin Flum. All right, the final villain we must discuss and my favorite of the issue. Man-Killer.
I have seen her before somewhere.
Oh, again, couldn't tell you where. Well, I might be able to tell you where. Later on, she joins the Thunderbolts for a brief time.
Oh, okay. And yes, that's right.
Yeah, her name then was Amazon. They changed her name.
Yeah, that's right. I think she was kind of like the anti-Thunderbolts, essentially, like these, you know, Baron Zemo's like backup or something in case his team went bad, something like that, like some weird like
second stringer.
Yeah.
But here she's known as the Man-Killer. Real name, Katrina Louisa Van Horn. It's a hell of a name. And her first appearance was Marvel Team-Up Issue 8, 1973. And that issue had Spider-Man teaming up with the Cat.
Your favorite.
Yeah, but where are the claws of the Cat? And Jim Mooney and Jerry Conway created her. Her backstory is dynamite. She was an Olympic skier and militant feminist. All right?
Yep, I got that in this issue.
Yeah, she hates the fellas. But she has good reason for her. In a second, you'll learn. And she had a personal feud with an anti-women's liberation skier named Carl Lubbings. And they decided to settle it on the slopes. It sounds like one of those movies we watch every Friday on the LCS Hockey Radio Show. This is a kind of settle it on the slopes. And but Lubbings, when they were racing, he cut her off or something. And it caused them both to go over a cliff. Lubbings died. But
okay. Well, I mean, she shouldn't hate him then. He got the worst end of the deal.
But she got mangled. She was horribly disfigured and crippled. But some unknown benefactor, I should say, came in and financed her recovery, and they built her a special exoskeleton that gave her super strength and made her all powerful and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then that issue of Marvel Team Up at the end, so Kat and Spider-Man are fighting her, and they're in this back alley and they're still fighting. And, you know, she's going on about how she hates men and everything. And the cat, she says, hey, did you ever think of this? That the people that gave you that money to rebuild your body and everything, that was AIM, Advanced Idea Mechanics, and they're run by men. And and Mankiller just gets stunned stupid. Like, she doesn't know
what to do. Error.
She's just staring at him. And that's like the end of the issue. Like, Cat and Spider-Man just walk off, like, high five. Yeah, we showed her.
Logic won the day. I like it.
Pretty great. All right. But yeah, she later joins Thunderbolts under the name Amazon. So there you go.
Yeah, that's where I've seen her.
All right. So I think that's all the background we need for this hell of a story we're about to read.
Oh boy, so many villains that no one cares about.
It seems to be a theme lately. We've been doing that a lot. Yep. A lot of villains that no one cares about. All right, Jack, why don't you describe the cover for us?
All right, so we got the Marvel Comics group and the green banner going across the top. This very colorful cover. And this is Daredevil, the Man Without Fear. And we got kind of Daredevil over on the left side there running in a little circle. And then on the other side, opposite, we got Black Widow in a little circle. She's kind of doing like some kind of Batusi or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's weird how she's featured in like a character, a little circle there, but you know, her name's no longer in the title.
Yeah.
I think they would have gotten rid of that when her name came out, but all right. Yeah,
she's still in the book, so I guess they're like, yeah, might as well put her on the cover. So then it says clockwise from the top. There, Silvermane.
Yeah, this isn't Jake saying this. This isn't a blurb in the box, like yeah. Clockwise.
Like, no one's going to know who these people are, so we better tell them and put them in the right order. Yeah, it's clockwise from the top. Silvermane, Mankiller, Dreadnought, Blackwing, and the Savage El Jaguar. What do you call a final climactic battle with five supervillains? How about Holocaust?
And, they really leaned into Holocaust in this book. It's also the title.
Yeah. So then we got basically Daredevil and Black Widow are kind of back to back in the middle of the circle of these villains all, you know, menacing towards them. Yeah. Kind of all have the same pose with their hands, both hands up.
It's a pretty good cover here. Sal Buscema is the artist. And I like this cover. I like when there's a bunch of villains. Buscema.
Yeah, this kind of cover, this just explains why I never read Daredevil before Frank Miller.
Well,
this is a perfect example.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah, these villains are terrible. But as far as the composition of the cover, the heroes in the center, the villains around them, big fan of that. So just imagine instead of these bums, like, you know, the Sinister Six or something is around them.
It is crazy that like how some villains take off and some don't. Like, I mean, I guess in theory these could be all right villains, but no, they just never hit.
No, they did not. So, all right, then we get to Stan Lee presents Daredevil, the Man Without Fear, and they give a huge like paragraph long introduction. Usually it's just like one sentence, like in a yellow box, but there's a huge description of the issue, and Matt Murdock is blind and blah blah blah. So all that stuff. And now we see a big ugly face of Silvermane there on some computer screen or TV monitor.
Silvermane, I mean, I guess hence the mane, he has to have the big flowing hair, but he looks a lot like Granny Goodness from...
yes! That's what I thought too, that Mr. Miracle we did way back in year one.
Looks like an old lady.
Yep. And his son Blackwing there. Blackwing's costume is interesting because it's more blue. And,
I mean, I guess they do that a lot in comics where, like, they try to make it bluer because it, you know, looks better. You think you can do shadows and stuff like that, but, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this is definitely, like, a lighter blue, though, you know? Even his underpants and gloves and boots are, like, a very pale blue. And I don't know.
Yeah, very little black. I guess the underpants, there's some blacks, but that's about it.
And this issue is called Holocaust in the Halls of Hydra. Ooh. Good alliteration there.
Yeah. So no one actually dies, so I don't know what they're even talking about.
So what's he yelling? You know, Silverman's just saying, hey, our plan's coming along great, you know? We're gonna, with SHIELD leaderless, Hydra shall march to world conquest. Yeah, they're gonna lure, the whole plan is to capture Foggy Nelson, to lure SHIELD into a trap.
Mm-hmm. And, they're sure that Nick Fury will come himself and then they can kill him.
Yeah. So then Hydra will take over the world. And while Silvermane's talking to his
rule over all.
And he's talking to Nightwing there, but Black Widow, she's sneaking up behind him and she's like, oh, they don't know I'm here. I'm going to knock out the little Blackwing there with my Widow's Bite. Isn't that what it's called? Widow's Bite.
Yeah.
I'm going to zap him. But what happens, Jack?
I like how, Blackwing, it looks like he's wearing, some kind of a mink stole or something.
Yeah.
He's got, a fur coat kind of
it's
thing.
It's a terrible costume.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. but Black Widow, she's up in the vent or whatever, trying to take him out with the Widow's Bite. But up, here comes Mankiller. Gives her the old karate chop in the back of the neck and takes her down.
Womp. Yeah. I think it's more like a slap. Just a, or maybe it is a chop. I guess it is a chop.
Yeah, it's kind of choppy. It's hard to slap choppy. Someone in the back of the neck, I guess. Unless you're doing it, you're like, hey, good job, buddy.
And she KOs Black Widow there. Standing over. That's a good panel. And,
yeah. AKA Katrina Van Horn, who previously appeared in Marvel Team Up number 8, and is now chief of Hydra's Assassin Division.
Len Wein is the editor here. There's a lot of editor notes in this book.
Yeah, I appreciated that. I always like those.
She starts yelling with Blackwing. She's like, oh, yeah, you could beat up Daredevil, because he's just a man. You need me to take care of Black Widow, you know? Because all you men stink. You men are terrible. And El Jaguar is already knocked out. He's passed out over a crate. In the previous issue, apparently Black Widow hit him right in the face with a Widow's Bite. Bang. Knocked him unconscious. So Blackwing and Mankiller are arguing, and Silvermane says, ah, shut up, you two. We're all on the same team here. Let's get it together. And so they drag the unconscious bodies down some steps. That had to hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Bouncing down the steps. You wake up, you're going to be like, oh, man, what happened?
The Mankiller is like dragging two people at once. Like, this is not comfortable. They're going to be sore for days.
Hey,
and Jaguar, their team.
Yeah. Hey, when I was a little kid, I was like five or maybe younger than that. We were at the mall and we were watching some clowns put on a show at the mall.
Ooh, nice.
And they had one of these clowns. I'm sure I told this story before in the LCS show, but one of these clowns was dressed like a giant hippo, you know, and he had this big costume, like a big hippo head on. And as part of the act, they went out in the crowd, and he grabbed me in his hippo mouth. And I looked up, and I just saw this stupid clown face. And the clown's like, hey, don't worry, little buddy. You know, we're just going to have a little fun. And he starts dragging me up on stage. But there was carpeting there, you know.
Oh,
and, I didn't understand what was going on. And I was just, okay. So I was part of the act now. It's part of the show.
Nice.
So I don't even remember how it ended. But later on, when I'm at home, you know, my back is like really itchy, and I'm like, "What the hell's going on with my back?" And I look up here, I lift up my shirt, and I just got these big rug burns all down my back because of that hippo dragging me.
So, might have been better off fighting an actual hippo.
So that's the same fate is going to befall Daredevil and Black Widow, and just dragging them along these. At least it looks like it's a nice, smooth surface, though.
Yeah, maybe the stainless steel. Maybe somebody put some Lemon Pledge down or something, so it's nice and slippery.
So now, I was a little confused initially by this change in scenes, because, like, the
also
ground.
Yellow?
Yes, the yellow background of the ground there, and then the yellow background in this third panel. But this is Ivan Petrovich, Black Widow's handler or whatever, and he's now in the headquarters of SHIELD. And
yeah.
He slammed
apparently, if you're a secret, you know, government or secret organization of any kind, whether it's government or terrorist, you have to make all of your things yellow.
Yeah, I was very confused. It's like, wait, what happened here? But no, we're in the headquarters of SHIELD now. Nick Fury's sitting with his legs up on the desk. And again, this is old school Nick Fury. He was a white fellow with an eye patch, and he looked like David Hasselhoff. and he's smoking a cigar, you know. And Ivan Petrovich is yelling at me, hey, we got to get Black Widow, you know. What are you going to do? She's been kidnapped or something. And what's Fleury saying? We'll get there, you know. We're taking her time.
We'll get her. Dum-dum, get the jetpacks.
Yeah, I guess he wants to give Widow time or something, I guess. I don't know. But
he's kind of like, yeah, it's about time, I guess.
Yeah, so Dum-Dum Dugan, is it Dugan or Duggan? We did this last week. Did we ever settle on what it is? We'll go Dugan. So Dum-Dum Dugan gets a little shield. How do you like these little shield uniforms? They got little, like they're going deep sea diving. They got jetpacks on.
I mean, I like the jetpacks. I don't like the head pieces so much.
And also that foxy lady's with them too, that Count, what's her name? Countessa? I don't know who she is.
Maria Contessa DeFontaine or something like that.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right? Isn't she playing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they just jump out of the office building in their jetpacks, and Ivan Petrovich gets a jetpack, and he's going to follow Nick Fury.
Yeah, he's not happy that they're taking this so lightly. But they're off to Shea Stadium.
That's right, home of the New York Mets.
Yep.
This was pretty good. And the Jets at the time, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
So, yeah, they're going to Shea Stadium because that's where Hydra built their secret headquarters, underneath Shea Stadium.
The narration boxes here are great. It says, this is Shea Stadium. It's in all the guidebooks. The Jets play – or the Mets play here. The Jets play here. The Beatles have played here. Hey, and guess what else? Hydra plays here. Or rather, Hydra plays under here. Don't ask us how they built the equivalent of a block-long four-floor building underneath Shea Stadium and did it secretly yet. Trust us, it's there.
How many kids are going there to Shea Stadium? I want to see Hydra's base.
Yeah, it's like Pee-wee trying to find the basement of the Alamo.
But I like this. We see Daredevil starting to wake up, and the first panel is all black with just the radar circles. And you start to get a little more detail with the radar circles, and then finally we're starting to get all kind of like sound waves and everything. So Daredevil's waking up, and he's like, Hydra.
Seven pages into this book.
Yeah.
He hasn't even been conscious yet.
And Black Widow is trying to play dumb like she's still passed out. She's trying to whisper to Daredevil. And he's like, hey, quiet. I can hear. I have really good hearing. You don't have to say anything very loudly.
We've known each other for like 50 issues now. When are you going to realize I have good hearing?
So Silverman's there and the Hydra guys got guns on them. They're tied up in chains. I don't know what Blackwing's doing. Oh, he's El Jaguar. It's okay. He's copping a feel on El Jaguar. I guess he's still woozy. It's helping him stand up. And Foggy Nelson, Dreadnought, the robot, is guarding Foggy Nelson. And we see Mentolo at a computer. And Silvermane's just like, he's telling, hey, our plan is great. We're going to destroy S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, and everything. And
I like that the indestructible robot is guarding Foggy Nelson. An overweight lawyer. Good use of resources.
Well, that overweight lawyer comes into play here pretty soon. Just you wait.
Oh, yeah.
But
how he does not murder his friends, I don't know.
But Black Widow's still whispering to Daredevil and stuff. And Silvermane takes the opportunity to fill her in on his backstory. And so we get a little flashback to him drinking that elixir that turns him into a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But then now he's back to being a 40-year-old guy. Well, he looks very old here because then he takes off his old man mask, his old lady mask, like Granny Goodness. Yeah. Right? And now he's just a slightly less old guy.
I am the Silvermane of old, young and strong enough to shake the earth itself. So what was the point of that old man mask?
I have no idea.
You're the head of Hydra. Shouldn't you be wearing your Hydra mask anyway? Like,
yeah, that's right. I think he was. I think it was like a big reveal when it was found out. So he had a mask on a mask.
So weird. Like, who are you trying to impress? Like, I don't get it.
And I am his son, Daredevil. And that's Blackwing saying that. From the moment you first learned of me, I have been working in the name of Hydra. And Daredevil says something stupid, and we see something.
Yeah, apparently they met each other in that Circus of Crime issue, and I don't know, like Blackwing just kind of hid behind a curtain. I don't know. He was like, I was going to help, but I didn't.
Cool. So Mantello is at his computer and he sees S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury and Dugan and Count, whatever her name is.
Contessa Valentina Allegro de Fontaine. No wonder I can't remember.
It just rolls off the tongue. Contessa. Yeah. And they're showing up in this warehouse. Now, this is a Shea Stadium, right?
Yeah.
So it seems weird that they would lure them into a place that they're going to blow up when they're at that place, too.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like, you know, a different wing. It's like, oh, yeah.
Good thing they went to that wing first, you know? So, there's a lot of plot holes here, but don't worry about it.
There's welcome mat there, so, you know, they had to go in there.
But Silvermane just says, perfect. Well, you do, Silvermane. You're good at the voices.
Well, no, actually, I don't know. I can't do them all because I'm not actually old. Farewell, Nicholas Fury. Your death begins a new era for this planet. The age of Hydra. And then he just pulls a lever and blows up Nick Fury and all his guys. They're dead forever.
Yep.
Totally good. Yep. Totally dead. No coming back.
Nope. Shield's done. Never hear from him again. Yep. And
all the leaders taken out.
And the narration says the bad guys have won. They're gloating. Franklin Nelson had endured his captivity knowing the good guys would come to rescue him. They came. They got creamed. Phrasing. Okay? Phrasing.
Like that's yeah, these days, that means something much different these days.
Something snaps, and we just see Foggy go nuts.
Yeah.
Like a berserker rage. He takes out a Hydra guy with one jab to the face, sock. Rips his machine gun away from him. And then he just opens up on Daredevil and Black Widow with his machine gun. And it only hits the chains.
The chains that are binding them. Yeah. Foggy Nelson, crack shot. Who knew?
It blows the chains to bits. So now Daredevil and Black Widow are free. And they're going to have to fight. And Silvermane's just laughing at him. He's like, it's just the two of you or three of you, I guess, with Foggy Nelson and a machine gun. And we got all, you know, I got five
a bunch of
lame
supervillains.
Yeah. All these terrible supervillains. We're going to mop the floor with you. And then there's a big ba-room, and everybody goes bouncing around, and it's Nick Fury. He's not dead after all. Jank, he's still alive.
Nope. Yep, he sure is. He's still there, still smoking a cigar. Didn't even
How
have
could
to
that
put
possibly
out.
Be, Jank?
Well, it says here, Hiya, Supreme Hydra. Hiya, Supreme Hydra. That was just my way of letting you know that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s come to call. You got a nice communication system here, easy to cut in on. By the way, you got to see the first trial run of a new kind of LMD. They've got thought tapes implanted inside them. They can even fool a mind reader. How about that? Yeah, yes. Apparently Mantello was there. And
Yeah. They put mind tapes into their heads. Ridiculous.
Oh, God. They spent so much money on this.
Yeah, he does. Of course, you cost the taxpayers a couple of million when you blew them up. But, you know, whatever. Now there's a big fight, and Silvermane says, everybody, dear divisions, execute plan 420.
They're all going to get high.
Plan 420. So Daredevil, and again, this version of Daredevil is just dumb. And like he tries to run at Silvermane, like he doesn't notice the giant robot dreadnought right next to him. Like you got those super senses, you can't.
Yeah, maybe they don't bounce off of a robot the same way as they do a person.
So the dreadnought just smacks him in the back of the head. But then they start fighting. Dreadnought shoots some heat lasers at him. Oh, liquid fire.
Liquid fire. Yeah.
And then Black Widow says, hey, Nelson, throw me that rifle. You got it, lady, but it won't stop him. Why? He's an expert shot. Just let him take the shot.
Fucking Punisher Nelson over here can handle it.
But Black Widow says, I'm a dead shot. And she knows that there's a weakness in the back of his neck. There's got to be like a vent. Because so he doesn't overheat. And she puts the shot right there down the vent, kind of like you're blowing up the Death Star, you know?
Exactly. Yep. Always got to have that damn vent open.
And so the robot just blows up. And now out of the smoky fog of the robot blown up, Jackhammer walks up. Again, I assume they had fought this guy like the previous issue and he's, you know, coming back now. But yeah, this is his first appearance. He just shows up. Why don't you describe Jackhammer's costume for the people, Jay?
Oh, good Lord. quite the look. So he's wearing like a yellow bodysuit, kind of black underpants, a big red belt with a big red H on it, I guess for Hammer. But then he's kind of got like a beard and goatee type thing and a mustache, and he's wearing the most ridiculous head, like headpiece. It's made of metal. It kind of comes down over his face, kind of like, what's Gorgon from the Inhumans a little bit. But he's got like a, instead of horns kind of on top of the helmet there, it's kind of a big connecting piece, like a giant handle, I guess, for the jackhammer. So if someone, you know, giant man came along, he could actually pick him up by that and use him as a real jackhammer, I guess. Then he's got metal hand pieces that have, I don't know, like weird extra bits at the end, just kind of, I don't know what that's supposed to do exactly, but
yeah, just like metal bars. I guess that's the jackhammer part. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a terrible
very
talk.
Strange. Terrible yeah. Talk. Some metal and, boots.
So Daredevil goes one-on-one with Jackhammer and they have a fight. Oh, there's a letter page, Jank, and it says, let's level with Daredevil.
Class.
Then Daredevil's fighting Jackhammer. Jackhammer's trying to punch him. Daredevil jumps out of the way. And then this monologue here, Daredevil, he's like, yeah. How does it go here? Oh, I'm fighting somebody, Art. Yeah, he sees those, tells Jackhammer, I'm not going to fight you, buddy. And Jackhammer's like, yeah, you are. And he starts punching him. And he's like, no, I'm fighting a man who's too stupid or maybe too unfeeling to realize what he's been doing until far too late. What are you talking about? That's what Jackhammer says. That's what all the readers are saying, too. And then Daredevil says,
maybe that is explained in the other issues that we didn't read, but I didn't know what he was talking about.
I'm talking about a man who has tried to prevent another human being from becoming all that person could be. And he like kicks him in the face. And then he's fighting the guy he's the guy I'm fighting, Jackhammer, not you.
Yeah.
He's the guy I hate most in the whole world. Me. And then he punches Jackhammer and knocks him out. You didn't stand a chance, man. You just got caught in the middle. Daredevil.
Yeah. I didn't
Frank
know what
Miller
that was about.
Is a genius that he took this guy and made it into everything. God bless Frank Miller, because I love Daredevil, but this guy's a dope. But yeah, so do you think he was trying to like? Well, we know that he breaks up with Black Widow next issue, and it's. Does it seem like he's trying to, he was holding Black Widow back and he realized it? Is that what he's trying to say here? That he's not the best for Black Widow?
I guess that must be it, yeah. Although I don't know how he could say that. She's like a Russian spy. Like, at least you're helping her be a hero. Seems like you're putting her on the right track.
Or do you think he was saying he's holding himself back from being everything he could be? That's why he hates himself. Oh, man, that's probably it. That's probably it, right?
Did he stop being a lawyer when he went to San Francisco or something? Like,
I don't know. Can't remember. But either way, not so good. Not so good.
Yeah.
So now we see Mentalo and Jaguar and Mankiller. They're trying to run away, but now the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys pop up, the rest of them, and El Jaguar takes a swipe at Dum Dum Dugan. Dugan just grabs him by the ankles, picks him up, and smacks him into a wall.
Yep. Good thing Jaguar didn't connect with those claws, though, or we would know he was in Life Mile Decoy.
That's right. So then Mankiller cracks Ivan Petrovich, and he's like, holy hell, lady. Nobody can hit that hard without help. You got to be wearing an exoskeleton or something. Good guess. Not that
you realize you're in the Marvel universe and there's tons of people with superpowers. Like, I can definitely hit that strong without an exosuit.
So, Contessa just leans into the panel. she just leans in and tosses him some little gadget. Ivan, attach this to her chest. Yeah, you got to put it on her under breasts.
He's like, done and done.
It's a jammer device. It'll freeze the gears in her exoskeleton. So he slaps it on her, and she can't move. She's like, you'll pay for this. And then Ivan Petrovich.
Can I just charge it, lady?
Yeah, we'll charge it, Joe. So now Silvermane, read his line here, Cenk, because he realizes things aren't going good.
The Dreadnought destroyed. El Jaguar, Jackhammer, Mankiller, Mentalo, all captured. Our legions defeated. My son, we have lost.
This is Daredevil's doing. He's not protecting it. He's not expecting another attack. I could get a revenge on him. Well, we haven't talked about Blackwing's face either. His mask is terrible. It's like a like Batman Shrek logo, but like squared off and angled and like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It's like Wolverine, Hawkeye combined with Strife, Cable's weird clone.
So Silverman just tells him, no, I cannot afford to lose any more of my division chiefs, especially you. If you were captured, S.H.I.E.L.D. would learn your secret.
Yeah, what is his secret? Nobody knows that he's Silverman's son?
I guess.
I wasn't impressed.
All we can do now is escape. Maybe the secret is that he gives his bat steroids, you know? Juicing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not good. Commander Kraken is waiting at the docks to take us to an alternate headquarters. Who in the blue hell is Commander Kraken? The other chiefs will likewise join us in time. It will take time to rebuild, but we will rebuild. And then Blackwing says, they will learn to fear Hydra again, Father. Hydra and us. Yeah, I don't think anyone's fearing them.
Nope. I feel like his reign with Hydra is going to end really quickly.
So they fly away. And there's Nick Fury, and they're rounding up all the Hydra guys. And we see Daredevil, Black Widow, Ivan Petrovich, Contessa, Dum Dum Dugan. And why don't you tell us the ending here, Cenk?
So Nick Fury says, well, Nelson, what do you think? Now that you've seen me and my boys operate, are you going to take me up on that offer to join S.H.I.E.L.D.'s directorial council? Foggy says, Fury, I don't think so.
Yeah, because they pull back and we see Shea Stadium is just destroyed. Like there's all kind of tanks and mortar shell holes everywhere.
Foggy was a Jets fan, so.
Yeah. You just blew up Shea Stadium, son of a bitch.
God damn it.
Now, at the end, we get a little box here. This story is dedicated to my godchild, Vanessa Nicola Hudak, in hopes that she will someday read it and realize that sometimes the good guys do win, if you believe. Tony. So is that common practice? We've been doing this show for 4.5 years. I've never seen anyone dedicate an issue to their godchild.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you do it for, like, you know, somebody in the business who died or something like that, usually, but not just, oh, I have a godchild. Yeah. Let me dedicate this to them.
Yeah, not even your own child.
Maybe you put that in the letter page or something, not in the actual book itself.
Like, what's the whole point of a godchild is, like, if someone's parents die, you have to step in and take over, right? Yeah, it's like...
I think in theory, so, yeah.
So, I mean, he's really getting out of his way here, getting good with the godchild.
Yeah. He wrote this whole four-issue arc.
Yeah. Next issue, caught in the coils of the Copperhead.
Ooh.
That can't be good either.
That's one of those snake people, right? The Serpent Society?
I think so, yeah. Yep. So, yeah, this is not a good era for Daredevil. But we're getting close to the good era. Yeah, we're getting close. This isn't it. I don't even think I ever read any of the San Francisco stuff. Because when I went back, I started issue one and I read through like maybe 50 or 60. And I'm like, yeah, this is bad. So I just stopped.
Yeah.
And I read all the Frank Miller stuff. But
yeah, me too. That stuff's so good.
So here it's Tony Isabella, not the best. Not the best in the writing department.
They just did not know what to do with Daredevil. It's sad that he floundered for so long with no kind of actual direction.
So the artist, Bob Brown, or William Robert Brown, born in Syracuse, New York in 1915. He died in 1977. And I swear, I think we talked about him
after this time.
Yeah, actually, when I read his background, there's a detail that was very familiar to me, and I'm like, oh, we probably talked about him before. But I don't remember any of this stuff. So real quick, his father managed a vaudeville theater, and his mother was a pianist. So he and his brother and sister grew up on the stage and performed as a song and dance act. Remember when we used to do that, Cenk? We were a song and dance act for a while?
Sure. Yeah. Throughout the early aughts, yeah.
He attended the Harvard Art School and the Rhode Island School of Design. He was drafted in the Army Air Corps in 1940. He served in the Pacific Theater during World War II as a bombardier and a navigator on a B-29. He flew 35 missions, earning 6 air medals and a Distinguished Flying Cross. So this was a guy, you know? This is a real fella right here. What a life he lived. And he was a song and dance man. He was in World War II. I like to take naps. That's what I like to do. Take a nap.
You're in a war against the outside world.
Yes, I am. And I'm winning. He began his comics career in the 1940s, working for Fox, Timely, and Atlas Comics. In 1951, he became a regular artist of the Vigilante feature in Action Comics, which ran from issues 152 to 185. It's probably a different Vigilante than the one later on, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I have to be. He worked on DC's Supernatural series, House of Mystery, and The Phantom Stranger. He did issues 1 through 7 of Rawhide Kid in 1955 for the Marvel. He helped create the Space Ranger feature in Showcase 15 in 1958, and it became a regular feature in Tales of the Unexpected and Mystery in Space, and that lasted until 1965. He also worked on Brave and the Bold, House of Secrets, Superboy, World's Finest Comics, and Detective Comics. He did 11 issues of The Avengers from 1973 to 74. He did 26 issues of Daredevil between 107 and 143, and that was from 1974 to 1977. Sadly, he died in 1977 at the age of 61 from leukemia. He had just signed on to become the regular penciler of Wonder Woman. This is the detail I seem to recall. But he completed only one issue before his death. And that was issue 231, and it was released 2 weeks after his death. That's very sad.
Yeah, that is. It sounds like he did a lot of different things, though. He got his fingers in a lot of pies before it all went away.
Now, his collaborator here for this issue, Tony Isabella, this is a quote from Wikipedia. He said Brown was, quote, very much underappreciated by comic book fans. And in addition, historian Mark Evanier, who we know from DNA Agents, and he was Jack Kirby's sidekick, and he always had a lot of information on Kirby. Here's a quote from him. Brown found his work regarded as old-fashioned. It wasn't so much that Brown couldn't take a more modern approach to his work, as that he just plain didn't understand what was meant. Editors kept showing him the work of new artists, he told me, and they'd say, this is what we want now. But Brown couldn't grasp what he was supposed to learn from the examples, which often struck him as displaying weak anatomy, poor perspective, and other fundamental errors. It was almost like they were telling him that kids relate to crude artwork, and he knew it wasn't that. So he could never pick up what they were trying to tell him about the new style for comic books. Because, again, a lot of times when I look at new artists, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is terrible, anatomy, terrible. But I don't know, it's the changing times, and Marvel wanted new, fresh things, I guess. But,
yeah, he never would have thrived in the 90s, I guess, when Jim Lee
and
Liefeld were coming in and all that stuff.
I would have been rough. He would have been I liked his stuff. I like his stuff here. It's classic. This is the kind of comic book art I like this kind of feel to it, you know, like, so I liked it. I don't know.
I mean, I hope he wasn't the one who designed Jackhammer's costume.
Yeah, that is true. That's bad. But, like, this is very, like, from the school of Kirby and Buscema and those kind of guys. Yeah, I like the art here. I thought it was fine. My kind of stuff.
Silvermane looks like an old woman, but other than that.
But it seemed that was intentional, though, you know? It seemed that was intentional. Yeah. So when he could take off the old lady mask, he looked like a handsome older man, you know?
I mean, so, I don't know whose idea. That's probably the colorist, I guess, who decided to make everything yellow. But I'm going to throw that in there. That's their fault, not so much the artist.
So there it is. Daredevil 123. Again, I wouldn't recommend going back and reading these issues of Daredevil necessarily because they're goofy. But it's still a fun issue to read, I guess. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I wish there was more him and Black Widow. I always liked their relationship, but not a whole lot of that here. They're just kind of fighting on their own for the most part.
The villains are terrible. I like when Dugan just picked that guy up by the ankles and slammed him into the wall. That was pretty cool.
I don't know what you just said, but that sounded like an ethnic slur.
Yeah, because what did he call him?
You dare make light of El Jaguar? Whoops, nothing personal, pal. Americano Payaso?
Americano,
and then Dugan's like, hey, I don't know what you said there. The editorial box says, neither do I, Len.
So, I don't know, what do you give this, Jank? 1 out of 10.
I guess I'll give it like a 2.5.
What? Wait a minute. Think of it. 2.5. What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot here to really wrap your fingers around.
Yeah, but you still
it got. Could have been worse, but.
A bunch of terrible villains. You got Foggy Nelson going Rambo, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty great.
All right, maybe I'll bump it up to 3 for that.
You get Shea Stadium. 3. Hydra having headquarters underneath Shea Stadium.
That generation was pretty great.
We got jetpacks. We got when I was talking it down, I didn't mean to like make it down to a 2.5. This was still a fun read. I thought, you know, I still enjoy it. It's a bad Daredevil, but it's still
that's what's coloring my opinion. I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're comparing this to like Frank Miller Daredevil.
Yeah.
Put this on a bad comic book scale. Like it's a fun comic book, you know. It's so I'm going 6 out of 10. It's a 6 out of 10.
Right? Wow.
Yeah. So
that's strong.
So there it is, Daredevil 123. All right, Cenk, what do you got for us next week?
All right. So next week, I figured it was about time we got back to DC. We haven't done a DC book in a little bit. So we're going to do a book called Legion 89, issue number 4, so that we could talk about a little character by the name of Lobo.
Yeah, we've never done any Lobo, ever. Yeah, why didn't you just pick a Lobo book?
I don't think he really got his own book till like the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, so the options for Bronze Age appearances of Lobo are pretty limited. I guess he was in this Legion comic for a good while. Like, I think this is where he comes into it, and then he's there for a little bit. But yeah, I think it's mostly this and like other Keith Giffen, like the Justice League International that you guys read when I was in here. Like, I think stuff like that.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. I don't know. I know absolutely nothing about Lobo. And yeah. I'm guessing from the title of the book, it's from 1989. Is that?
Yep. Yeah, they kept changing the title, I guess, as years went on, which is strange.
You can't get nothing by me.
Yep.
So, all right, Lobo next week here on Flea Market Fantasy. And once again, please like and subscribe on YouTube. And go buy yourself some T-shirts. You'll love them. So until next week, don't get any jank on you.